welcome, friends, to episode 95 of Venture Maidens. We would really appreciate if you would help us out with a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice to help other adventurers join the party. We love reading your reviews, and we love our patrons! Thank you to all of our generous and wonderful patrons, and of course, a big thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song. Our sponsor for this episode is our amazing partner in crime, Cobalt Press. Have you heard about their new Kickstarter that they've launched? The Southlands features high adventure in a self-contained and standalone campaign setting, with all the tools at your fingertips for a dozen adventures and even full campaigns. This updated 5th edition version includes new player options, an updated world book with all new chapters, and a fantastical city book to launch a memorable campaign, with a ton of short and medium-length adventures to boot. The Southlands setting is fully compatible with the 5th edition of the world's first RPG. If you haven't already, you should check out our playthrough of City of Cats that we did that's available on the Venture Maidens YouTube page to check out some of the cool character options that are available to you. There are all manner of print, digital, and VTT versions of Southlands available through the Kickstarter. Find out more at KoboldPress.com. Alright, now before we dive in, let's remember what the heck happened last time. Last time on Venture Maidens, our heroes continued to battle the Tower Mimic from the inside. After narrowly surviving a fight with the central staircase of the animated tower, they entered the final chamber at the top. The maidens made quick work of the tower's brain, but the victory was short-lived when a gargantuan hand lifted the tower's roof. A booming voice chastised the chess armies below for fighting and demanded to know what the maidens were doing here. After a brief discussion, the outstretched hand lifted us out and into a studio apartment? And that's what happened. Let's see what's on the inside of this apartment.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our heroes have made it to the Titan's lair. Will Menetius help them in their quest? Why has she remained isolated for so long? Can our crew discover a way to destroy the Avatar? Find out in episode 95, Meet Your Maker.
Everybody, wow, welcome. Oh my gosh, it's another episode of Venture Maidens. I'm so happy you're here. We're all happy to be here. Welcome. It's episode 95, which is a lot of episodes. Every time I say the episode name now, I'm just like, damn, We old. But we're still kicking. We're feisty. We're feisty 95-year-olds. So welcome, everybody. Hey, let's just get into it. I'm your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich.
I'm your Moon Elf Warlock, Arnadella Thill, played by Brittany.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm playing Farrah Valen, Tiefling Sorceress.
And I'm Nassim. I'm playing your Human Monk, Cyanor.
And I'm your Christmas Ready Cleric, Kara Brynhilda.
Christmas Kara!
Christmas Kara! That's what I want in my stocking.
Oh boy.
Welcome everybody. Wow, you all look so cute today. Look at us.
Oh, you cute too, honey.
Oh, babies. Boy, I am very excited for tonight's episode because I feel like we've been trying to get to this point for quite a while. Oh man.
I love
it. Are y'all ready? Y'all ready to do this recap and then get into this episode? I feel like this is gonna be a big one, I think.
It is.
I've been a little stressed about it all day.
I know.
Thankfully the recap will be easy though, because we basically just fought a giant mimic in the shape of a rook, which had a little dude on top, and we heckin' killed it.
Yeah.
Slayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Quick recap. We can just dive right into it. Yeah, so that's what happened. After slaying this this mimic arcane tower, this big eyeball in the sky had showed up, and it was Manetio saying, "Hey, who put you all back together, you little chess pieces? You know you always fight." And then they had all, like, pointed up at you. There had been some back and forth about whether or not you are our gods, and she was like, "I guess not. Okay, come up." And she had, you know, put her finger down, and then, yeah, drawn you into this space. And as you had looked up at her, she is gigantic, enormous in size. And you had seen this studio apartment, this very sort of simple space, jam-packed with tables and all kinds of clutter and tools and boxes everywhere. And she had said, "Yeah, well, this won't do." And you all had begun to feel yourselves grow larger in size. And that's where we had ended the episode. So that is where we were picking up. So you were all still in this, again, studio apartment kind of space. She has lifted you up from like a table, a very long table that has been shoved against one wall. And on this table, you see there's like a wooden box that is completely open. And as you are growing larger, you can see now as you expand that this box is getting very, very small, and the passageways carved within it do form a maze. So it's like this wooden box that had the maze that you were just in a moment before. And I think it's a very jarring feeling as you all are just expanding in size, feeling your body parts extend and just grow. And in a matter of seconds, you all are to the exact same scale as this woman who was so gigantic just a moment before. And honestly, this space now feels suddenly quite crowded with the four of you standing in there and she's standing there. And now that you're on this sort of same plane, you can tell, so she has dressed once again in this kind of messy, like, painter's smock, like she was just in the middle of doing something. She has sort of this blondish hair that's been, like, just put up in a messy bun and, you know, these blue eyes as she's looking at you. She stands maybe, like, 5'2", kind of looks kind of human in appearance, and she's just looking at you all. Hi.
Am I alone in feeling like Minutius looks kind of like Emma Thompson a little bit?
Emma Thompson is very cool. Sure, she looks like Emma
like
Thompson.
Like a more artsy fartsy.
Like art school Emma Thompson.
Yeah, like less patchouli, like more paint splatters.
Yeah, I mean, as you are looking around this space, you can see, I mean, most of the furniture in this room is these long work tables that have been crammed into pretty much every feasible space here. You can see at the far end of this, like, rectangular room, there is a bed and, like, a wardrobe. You know, some things have been tacked up on the walls, but the rest of this place is just jammed with stuff, with painting materials, with carving materials, with alchemy tools, all kinds of tools of every single kind in here. And there are books and more of these boxes and things that look like games and statues, just cluttering this room.
Oh man, Kara suddenly really, really misses Gidget.
It definitely reminds you of Gidget's workshop. It has that same sort of, you know, artifice vibe.
She's like the ultimate miniature painter.
So good at mini painting.
She makes them and paints them.
Yeah, she's just kind of, honestly, just sort of staring at all of you.
God, now that we're here, Kara's just kind of, like, holding her hands up, like, looking around, like, just kind of awestruck and unable to speak. It's just, like, all that we've been through to get to this moment, and it sounds like, oh my God, where do we even begin?
And we're in a shitty studio apartment after all that craziness.
Yeah.
Maybe cut right to the chase. Maybe we should tell her that somebody's trying to kill her ass.
Pharaoh sticks her hand out to her and she's like, "Hi, thank you for making us big. This makes it a lot less weird. Nice to meet you."
Nice to meet you all too. I'm sorry, who are... I know we covered, you said Venture Maidens. Kind of screamed out.
Pose.
But other than that, I've never really had visitors before, so this is sort of odd. How did you, get here?
Well, it wasn't pretty.
Whoa, so wait a second. So getting here was not something that you set up yourself. It's just...
Oh, no. I've been working pretty desperately to make sure nobody can get here. So this is a bit alarming. I'm sorry. Do you want food? She looks at you and she seems kind of nervous. Just you get the impression that maybe she just hasn't been around people a lot. So she's kind of awkward.
Oh, I speak that language.
I have food or drinks or I guess.
I mean, we don't really mean to put you out or anything. We're here to speak to you about a really important matter on our plane.
Okay. Let's start there. And she, you know, kind of clears off some stuff, like, of some of these chairs that are kind of haphazardly scattered around the room. And she's just, you know, starts assembling this mismatched furniture kind of in a small circle, like by the kitchenette that crams one wall of this room here. And she's like, well, sit down, I guess. I'm Manitios.
Oh, we know. I'm Kara. Oh. Hi.
Hi.
That would be really funny after all this. We got the wrong address.
Oh, no, no, yes. I'm Manitios.
Arnadel. Arnadel's, like, brain is being blasted by the fact that this is a fucking god who is super relatable and, like, what? What?
The only Titan I've ever related to.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, you have a pseudo dragon. Hello. Oh, she says and kind of like looks at Alistar, who's perched on your shoulder.
Is Alistar giant?
Alistar and I get like a shiver because we're like, you know, with the whole connection, we're both like, whoa! And then Alistar, I'm like, go fucking say hi.
Yeah, and he does, you know, with trepidation, but, you know, he reaches out like a snoot curiously, and she very gently extends, you know, a paint-covered hand towards him, and she's like, you know, I made the pseudo-dragons. I thought they were really cute.
My awkwardness completely dissolves, and I want to nerd the fuck out over this. I'm like, oh my god, I'm sure you can sense this, but, like, I don't know, I have such a connection with this little guy, like... We share a soul.
That's incredible. I imbued them with a great deal of intelligence, you know, having to compete, you know, with dragons, making them miniature, you know, they still needed to have that special something. Otherwise, they probably would have been upset.
I am a particular fan of the little stinger tail, if I may.
Oh, yes? Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. Yeah. I mean, they're so cute. They had to defend themselves, right?
Oh, God.
Mm.
Nerding out.
You know what? I will take a drink.
Okay. What would you like?
Something strong after the day we've had.
If you don't mind, this is... I mean, you know what things you set up to keep people from visiting, so, you know, like...
Yes, this is all quite... strange. I had no idea people could even get here. In fact, it's sort of concerning that you were able to find me.
So you did put yourself here of your own volition. No one else put you in here then?
Oh, yes. I built this place to hide. Apparently not very well.
Well, no, just to put emphasis on how badly we need to talk to you. Girl, we're about to spill the tea.
All right. And she kind of goes over to this kitchenette and you see like hanging from the ceiling are like, you know, those like three bad plywood cabinets that every like little studio apartment has. And yep. She opens up one of them and you see Farrah as she does. There is a beautiful selection of like liquor bottles that fills this. And she's like, are any of these...
Yes. Excellent. Whatever your favorite is, I'll take whatever.
Oh, I don't really eat or drink, so but the cabinet, and she kind of closes it again and then opens it up, and then there's like an even more specific selection of things that you would like in particular, as she opens up.
Are you looking for a roommate? Because this place is pretty cool.
She's Oh. well, it's kind of cramped.
Sure, sure.
So no.
Okay.
But maybe.
I'll take this one. I'm a clear liquor kind of girl, and she'll just take whatever's in front because they're all fancier than what she normally gets.
Yeah. If you all want anything, the cabinets will do whatever.
I think, yeah, we help ourselves, right?
Yeah, you can get whatever, like, so whenever you open them up, it's a filled assortment of snacks or beverages or whatever you're looking for is in these cabinets.
Hell yeah. Hot Cheetos and vodka. I
have no appetite or thirst for anything, but just for the sheer sake of, like, trying to, this is so uncomfortably normal, considering, you know?
Yes, I don't need to eat, but I sort of went through a cooking phase, so I made the cabinets.
Oh my god, I love her.
That's she amazing. Quarantining herself from the world? Like, what's going on? What virus is happening?
You can ask her if you want. She's, yeah, sort of standing by the kitchenette, you know, waiting for you all to talk.
Yeah, while everyone's getting their snacks. Yeah. So I'm really curious. While we were in there, we came across another traveler. Do you happen to know what happened to them?
Oh, there are more of you?
Just one that we know of.
We're not sure how they managed to get in your maze, but we were sort of helping each other get to you. But it seems that once we came through that final door, they disappeared.
Oh, well, we can take a look. And she kind of walks over to the tabletop. With that large, like, wooden carved maze. And she leans down and, like, kind of points towards the center and be like, is that them?
Can I take a zoomed in look?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, like, zoom in and look down and you see that this maze inside this box is a perfect replica of the one that you all were wandering around in, down to each and every gate and those tiny little carved details, even the unfinished section here. And you can see that lying beside the table are, like, the mini making tools that would allow you to, like, finish the gate here. And at the very, very center where you see a very tiny little chessboard, there is a figure that's maybe like 2 centimeters tall in height that's kind of pacing around the board. And as you zoom in and like really get a look on them, it looks like it is chess moving around in there.
Big sigh of relief. I'm happy we have an audience without chess here.
Honestly, I didn't notice you were there. You just happened to be sort of in the middle of the fight when the chess pieces all get together. They love to fight, and it's pretty loud, so I found all of you, but I can certainly pull them out, too, if you would like.
No, we did not arrive here with them. We just came across them while we were trying to make our way through the maze, and we're not quite sure how we feel about what we need to talk about in their presence. So, for now, if you don't mind it just being the 5 of us.
Oh, sure.
Well, we can make it quick, too, so you can get back to what you're doing, but you know.
I mean, I've just been here keeping myself busy for, I don't know, how long has it been?
A hot minute.
Hundreds of years?
Actually, it would be a cold minute now.
3,000 if we're going by the time that the gods came and killed all the rest of the Titans.
Oh, yeah, then I've been here for 3,000 years doing nothing. So
oh, honey.
There's really no rush.
Oh. Well, you know, you are very creative. We've been through most all these gates and like, wow.
Thank you. This board is turning out really well. I like all the different combinations. So I think it'll be really great when it's finished.
I want to turn around and look at the rest of the Venture Maidens and be like, how are we going to summarize what it is we're trying to tell her? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, go, she's, Cara, go. She's sort of
go, Cara, go.
Down, feeling your intensity. She, yeah,
just. Everyone loves Cara recaps. All right. So, well, quick aside with Jess. Apparently, to get into the maze, they made it a deal with an Arcanoloth to get up here to talk to you.
Demons.
Right. Exactly. So, I don't really think they have the best intentions. So if you can't kick them out, strongly recommend. Anyway.
Oh, I don't... I mean, I don't want to kill anyone. Maybe I'll just... She kind of looks around at the table, and you see there are all kind of scattered things, and she picks up, like a little shot glass, and she just reaches down and, like, puts it over this running figure.
Wow! I love it. What is that
That's
like?
Amazing!
And she's like, well, they're not going to go anywhere now.
I love her so much.
You're not wrong.
Oh my god, life goals.
Yeah. Oh god, okay.
Wow.
Well, now that that's taken care of, fantastic. All right, so you, if our puny mortal records are correct, you are the creator of the Avatar. This magical suit of armor that could kill gods.
Yeah, that's...
Well, yep. A daughter of Nerul has taken control of that suit of armor and is now killing gods.
Mm. Oh, cool.
This is kind of a problem for the mortal plane because it fucks with our magic and shit. And we were told to find the maker to learn how to destroy this suit of armor. And so we've gone on this huge fucking quest, going through a maze, traveling across planes, and through time, to come to talk to you to figure out how to do that. I recognize that you probably don't like the gods and want them dead, and definitely understand that, but you know it's kind of fucking our shit up.
Okay. Well, it seems like you've had quite a time getting here. That's a bad break. How did they get the Avatar? The gods pretty much sealed that away, last I heard.
Well, this child of Nerul apparently found it and employed Drow to excavate this arcane tower, and then she killed me and took it.
And she's even tried to kill me to stop us from getting to you to stop her.
She resurrected me, but I was there to help revive. It's been complicated. It's very complicated.
I just don't like her. Hot Cheeto.
Okay, fair. Can I ask, what, so she's killing gods. How many has she killed?
Well, hold on now. So there's another aspect to this. We're entwined with / employed, however you want to bring those together, with the Sisters of well, that's our faction's name, but the Fates, they're kind of showing us this tapestry thing and how we have to help, and that's kind of like the catalyst for all of this, is that the weave that we're a part of is going to come unraveled and change life as we know it. So that's actually, it's not so much about what this avatar wielding former friend of ours is doing so much as we are motivated by the gals that are employing us in this faction.
But that being said, also, I'm really curious to hear your perspective on everything, mm-hmm. because since they are our employers, technically, I'm confident everything that they've been telling us is extremely biased, and I really would rather be run by truth.
Also very vague, right?
Yeah, very.
We're trying to push this together with snippets.
But the way she's going about her goal, whether it's just or not, we know that she's not going to let anything stop her. She's clearly tried to work with people who've been loyal to her, or she hasn't tried to work with people who are loyal to her. She has stopped us. She has killed us. She is willing to do anything to reach her goal. And that's what I am trying to stop.
I would prefer to have more information. I'm just dying to know because this has been the biggest jigsaw puzzle on the planet.
Rem has been extremely vague, but it seems that she agrees with the purpose of the Avatar's existence in order to get rid of the gods.
I've noticed that there's a shitload of stuff that seems really black and white, but really, we just really only got enough to, like, an interaction, but we didn't have anything outside of that.
Okay. Well, I guess I should make it very clear that, I mean, I'm also going to give you a biased opinion here. I'm not sure if you seem to know that I made the avatar, which I did. I made a device that could kill gods, and I made it for a very good reason. I'm no fan of the gods. My people made them, and then they killed us one by one. And took the humanoids and used them to do that. It's the whole reason I'm trapped here, because if I ever returned, they would kill me.
What are they afraid of you doing? Why did they kill you guys in the first place?
They were children who wanted power. We didn't make them quite as equal to us in our creative abilities. We sort of made the world, made it for them to play in, and they got greedy, I guess, from what I understand. They started convincing humans that the gods needed them to survive, and they turned against us, and it all became a war, and before we even knew what was happening, so many of us were dead. And, well, I'm not gonna shy away from it. After seeing so many of my friends and my family murdered, I made the avatar. And Well, it was probably very prideful of me, since they saw that, and there were more of them than me, and so I had to run.
So a burning question that I have that I'm, you know, so this is brings up a lot of conflict, because considering, like, a justice-oriented perspective, it's like, well, what side do you pick or not? I think that this...
I'm sorry, are you pondering the philosophy of me making something to punish the people who killed everyone I've ever loved?
No. I'm not at all. I think that's totally justified. What I'm thinking is that I think that it might be a waste of time to consider what purpose our friend Rem is using this avatar. And maybe it would neutralize the situation just by getting rid of it. And then we can sort it out ourselves.
I mean, I know nothing that could give a humanoid the power to challenge a god other than the device I made.
I mean, but the thing is if Rem, whoever, if it exists, there's always going to be somebody that's going to try to use it. And the purpose of that person's thought process is, you know, it's infinite. So what if we just got rid of it? Then you don't have this super powerful thing. And
I think that people like me, people like you, need something to challenge the gods. They are cruel and petty, and I would like to see them fall. So forgive me if I'm not gung-ho on telling you how to destroy this thing.
Arnadel's like, oh shit. Okay.
If you didn't make them equal to you, what was the purpose of making the armor in the first place? Did you intend for a human to use it? Or are you not capable of leveling out gods yourself?
There were too many of them. Me, alone, as I was. I'm a creator. I don't sling fire and lightning. I make things. I made beings like you. I made them. I'm not a warrior. But the avatar, I suppose, was meant to show them that they could be defeated, that some of us still remember. I didn't really even have plans to use it, much less just to prove that I could, that it could be done. And even that threat was too much.
Well, I gotta say, your creations down there in your little maze, some of them are starting to become conscious beings, and poor Jack in the Jack-in-the-Box has got a lot of words for you.
I was afraid of that. I don't make beings anymore. But it seems that even the things I make, the things that I didn't mean to make with sentience or intelligence, seem to have a way of developing it.
I mean, do you prefer a solitary life, or...
No, of course not. I would like to be back in my home world. Look at this! Look at the size of this place. And she, like, waves around at the studio. She's like, I have to keep it this small so they don't notice it's here.
Well, I just do think that hopefully we can help you sort this out, because nobody should be confined anywhere. That's not right. But in the meantime, while we try to help figure everything out, like, Kara was saying, there's lots of people, particularly Jack, who would love to hang out with you and have a smart, intelligent conversation.
What could I offer a sentient being if I were to bring them here into this place? This room? This confinement? It's driving me up the wall. I can't even imagine subjecting someone else to it.
I don't think you have to go that far. I think just a tiny bit of validation would be the world.
This Jack, I'm sorry, I have to say, I don't even know who they are. And she, like, waves a hand, and you notice that there are other boxes in this room, almost identical to the one you came from. Probably 30 to 40 of these things. And she's like, if I've been here for thousands of years, who even knows how many of these cases?
So you are as trapped as the individuals that you're creating. So yes. Nobody's happy. You're not happy. The things you're creating that you're having a hard time remembering creating are...
I think the gods are pretty happy. If we want
to. You're giving me a compelling argument to give a hard F you. I guess the burning question is we got to identify what we all want and where the compromise lies. Because we're here to, I don't want to say a fool's errand, but we don't have all the answers to our questions as to why we're here in the first place, but we're here. Boy, did we get here. And it seems like, do you know Rem? Are you familiar with this person that's wielding your armor?
Since you created it, can you find it?
I have no power now to influence the material plane. If I did anything there, it would draw attention to myself and I would be killed. I can't see into your world. I can't move things in your world. I don't know who this Rem is that you keep mentioning. I still really don't understand who all of you are. The Sisters of Sorrow, that... I'm assuming you mean the Fates?
Yeah.
Yes.
I met them when they were infants. I don't know them personally.
Could you tell us of a way to try and track down the Avatar?
Perhaps, but I don't know if I should. I mean, if this Rem really is going to kill the gods, then maybe that means I can come back.
Well, I mean, we don't know that. Like, she just has it.
You don't seem to think that we're capable of stopping someone using this piece of armor either way.
Well, I did build it to kill gods. There is no way to destroy it unless I give you away. Though I suppose at the end of the day, you could simply just tell your gods that I'm here and I would die, so maybe you are here to force it out of me, actually. And she, like, is monologuing to herself as she's realizing the bad spot she's in.
We're not going to do that. I honestly, out of everything, I'm not a conflict kind of girl, to be honest, Manitios. Do you think that there's any situation in which we could find peace between you and this party who has this armor to kill the gods and the gods? Have you ever met a god personally that wasn't a piece of trash? Is there anyone who could lead a civil conversation between all these three parties and maybe we can find middle ground?
I don't see them speaking to me in any way that is safe for me. I would not feel comfortable returning to the world as things are now. I mean, there were some gods that we made, but from what I know, humanoids made more. And gods have this power to feed on those who believe them. It's something we built in, again, that pride, that power. And we built it into humanoids, too, but, well, the gods seem to have turned that around. So I can't return. I can't think of any being in the universe that would be capable of keeping me safe anyway.
Can I ask you a question? A really honest question. Is it just the way that the gods turned out, or is there one in particular that triggered you being here in this way?
I wouldn't say in particular. It's like, you all have children. It's like if your children...
Nope.
Oh, we are capable of having children.
Yes, go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she seems confused, and then she's like, "Oh yes, but your kind, they can all have children."
Yeah.
And it's as if you come home one day, and your children are there waiting, and they begin to stab you. I don't know really why. I can only guess. Apparently I've had thousands of years to make guesses about why they did this, but all I know is that they did.
Are any of the other Titans alive? Do you know?
And her face gets really drawn and sad. I was the last that I knew of. And it's sort of my fault, too, because I chose not to take sides. So I guess the gods left me alive during that fight. And had I known if they were going to kill us all, I would have fought. But I am the last, and I just make things. So here I am.
Farrah's gonna stand up and walk over to this woman and give her a hug.
Yeah, and she like kind of like twitches because she doesn't really know what you're doing, and then like leans into your hug, and you know, a tear rolls down her cheek.
Idea is like, are you comfortable with this as things are, or would you like a change?
If there was a way I could come back, I would take it in a heartbeat.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Shit. Conflict.
This is no way to live.
No.
And she looks around again at this tiny space, and she points at these mazes and everything too, and she's like, this is no way for these creatures to live. Like, this Jack.
Yeah.
It's all a consequence that I once had the power to fix, and now I do not. And that is so frustrating.
I have a kind of out there question. You said that you built into the gods and you built into humans that if they had enough belief in themselves that they could become more powerful. Is that something that you can do as well?
My power, I think, is stable. But the gods have an ability to, if they inspire, if they create, if they persist, if they fight, they can forge their own destinies, their own power. Humanoids had the same thing. We built that into them because we wanted our children to be better than us.
It just sounds like the gods are spoiled little babies.
Well, if you say that, Minitios is like, well, the thought has occurred to me. the gods have taken this ability away from the humanoids and made them think the gods are necessary. So now the humans cannot grow better. We are all dead. So it's just the gods who improve and improve.
Yeah, I personally get my magic, which is all the defense that I have from them. And
why? Did she ask you with a genuine, like, puzzlement?
I don't know. I originally thought that it was just because of my heritage that I had this ability. But then at some point down on our plane, it was gone. And I don't know. I had a meeting with them and they told me that it was because of something that happened with them, but I don't have any evidence to prove otherwise, so I have to
Farah, I can tell you, because I made you in some ways, you don't need gods to cast magic. You don't need gods to channel your might. You are enough. We made you all to be enough, to stand on your own.
Well, can you show me how? Because I would rather live my life after truth than because I need somebody else.
I'm not a spellcaster, but I suppose I could try.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Midroll. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and if you'd like to help us out further, please consider becoming a patron. You get bonus podcasts, coloring book pages, and depending on your support level, a digital or physical copy of the biannual Avenger zine. If you like what you're hearing but you want more, don't forget to check out our Rime of the Frost Maiden campaign on YouTube. It is very scary, but we are hilarious. And now our midroll sponsor for this episode, Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop minis with dozens of fantasy races and thousands of parts to choose from. Their design tools make it so easy to bring your characters to life just as you imagine, and can be printed on a variety of materials, including plastic, metal, and even colored plastic, so that all your work is already done for you once you get your mini in the mail. But even if you have your own 3D printer, they've got you covered. You have the option of downloading the model files to print them out yourself. Make sure to check back often, because Hero Forge expands their catalog of customization options every week. Visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniatures today. Now, let's wrap up this midroll and get back to the show, shall we?
Oh boy, how y'all doing? I'll get a drink if you all want to talk amongst yourselves. I feel like maybe I should.
Don't ever tell me that I'm Leave. Enough again. I'll cry so much.
Okay, you all talk amongst yourselves while I get another drink. I'll leave you to it.
I am literally caught in the middle of logic and emotion. Logic, we came here for one fucking task, and that should all that should be all there is. But also, emotion? Like, what? This God versus Titan situation is complicated emotionally.
Yeah. I don't know. I really want to get out of here with a way to pick whatever side we want and be successful. Because I feel like we need more. We're always going to need more.
That's my quandary, is what side? Like, Arnadel's like, well, shit, I never thought about it like this before.
I don't know if we know yet. I don't know if we have enough information to make that choice.
I don't think it's possible for us to possibly know it all, because Minitius is the last of her kind, and no, like, very, very, there are very, very few parents in the world who are genuinely, when they say, oh, my kid doesn't talk to me, there's a fucking reason. Mm-hmm. 99% of the time, mm-hmm. coming from the child of emotionally abusive parents.
Yeah, I don't know why they turned on me just for power. I mean, yeah, maybe part of that, but who knows what else the Titans had been doing to the gods way back when. And, I mean, she's clearly just going to stay on the side of, I've lost everything. I'm hurt, I'm for what this person is doing. But the person we have tried to reach out to over and over again to find out what their end goal is has decided to be the most vague about it when they could have tried to bring us to their side. They never attempted that. So how am I supposed to feel any sympathy for what's going on between the Titans and the gods? This is how Saya, like, the emotional side of it is gone. Yeah, it's sad what happened, but it was thousands of years ago. This is the way the world has worked for millennia at this point. Like, what is the consequences of destroying that order? What are the, without even Titans to come and deal with the backlash and the chaos?
I wish that there was a third party that was, like, indifferent to everything. Like, You know what I mean?
That's what the issue that I raised earlier was, like, not so much about taking sides with Titans versus gods, but this weapon, the Avatar, what if we just got rid of that? And then everything, that was why I was like, well, if we just get rid of this thing, then this whole feud with Titans, we're not really taking a side. We're just getting rid of a weapon of mass destruction so that y'all can fucking figure it out yourselves. But I think this suit of armor, if we just got rid of it.
The problem is that we can't really even get rid of it unless we got rid of Manitios, because what's to stop her from just making another one? She knows how to do it.
Well, I mean, like, the whole... She just said she can. She can tell us how to get rid of it. She has a way. She certainly can. I guess it's a matter of, like...
whether she wants to tell us or not. And I'm sorry, I have a problem with someone describing these gods as their children, but it's okay to, that they're all dying and gonna be killed. Like...
Arnadel's kind of like, I have no idea what it's like to be a god or a titan, and it sounds a hell of a lot more complicated than our normal lives. The affection that I have for my family, I feel like when you're a god slash titan, maybe not be the same, because there's like some hubris involved with creating a fucking, like, civilization or an entire, like, lifespan of people.
They did not create civilization. Human beings, with their ingenuity and their creativity and their quest for power, created civilization. They have been the progenitors of their own fate.
I think I'm just having a disconnect, because the idea of creating anything alive does not... Arnold's like...
We create our progeny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we are creators. In a very, like, real way in the modern times, we have created AI and artificial, intelligences that have, you know, some semblance of consciousness and choice and decision-making. We are creators.
Because Arnadel, so speaking as Arnadel, she's just like, fuck, this is very complicated and a lot. Gonna stick to the main objective. What's the main objective? I turn to you guys. What's our main objective? I don't know what else to think. I don't know what else to do. I feel like we could spend an eternity up here having this discussion with Munitios, which is a huge honor, by the way. I've never thought I could have a conversation with an ancient being. But back to the Venture Maidens.
Yeah, what's our main objective? Like, at you.
Well, Saya's just going to talk to her and say what basically I've just said to all of you. We have done our part as best as we can to communicate with this person, this Rem that we've been telling you about, who's taken the Avatar. We have done everything to try and connect and understand and see if there's anything we can do to just learn why they think they need to do this, or what it is even that they are trying to do. She has failed to give us an answer, has threatened us multiple times for even seeking understanding. So how can we trust that they're not going to use this Avatar beyond its purpose of destroying gods? I just don't feel like there's any good outcome that can come from leaving someone to such incredible power without an ounce of, if they think it's for our betterment, why wouldn't she try to tell us to join her? Why wouldn't she try to help us understand what her goal is? She's kept us in the dark intentionally when we have tried to understand.
Well, maybe her ultimate goal is something she knows you all would oppose. So she's killed, you said, this god of death?
Yes.
Who else?
We're not sure yet.
That's it. Because, well, okay, here's my logic with it. When that god died, we all felt it hardcore. Anybody that was remotely connected to the magical weave felt it in a really horrifying way. And that hasn't happened since. So just based off of that process of deduction. So far, as we know, no other deity has died like that.
So it sounds to me then like this Rem's target isn't more gods.
Her dad or her uncle?
It was her dad.
Well, that's the frightening part of it is we don't know what her end game is.
But you are assuming the worst?
Yes, if she's willing to eliminate anyone in her path, even from trying to understand what her goal is, how can we assume anything?
Has it been anyone in her path or just all of you?
We've worked with this Rem. She's the one who brought us into this Sisters of Sorrow, this coven we've come to put our faith and our loyalty in. She brought us here. And we had faith in her and we were loyal to her.
And she has turned on the Sisters of Sorrow.
And everyone, we've come into contact with many people who she has specifically sought out for friendship, for their talents, their abilities, has picked up people out of the gutter, have given them new purpose in life, and she has turned on all of them. The point is, we are literally incapable of telling you or anyone how it is that we got here because we are bound by magic to conceal that information. So no one can get that information. We cannot tell you, anyone, how we got here or how it is to get back. So you are safe in that regard. You have been trapped for thousands of years. This is a problem that affects our plane, our mortality. Don't you think it is well within our rights as creators, as children of you, that we should be able to make this choice once we have learned more information? What we need to learn is what her purpose is. And if it is deemed that it is a noble and true and just purpose, then we will support it. But if it is not, and we are to die because of our own ignorance, then you are no parent. You are no creator. That deems you the destroyer, and the blood is on your hands.
And she sort of sits there in the chair and starts talking and then stops and then looks and is just sort of stunned at looking at you. And you see a lot of emotions play over her face, like anger, and then kind of confusion, and she sort of settles, kind of gently shaking her head, and is like, I just need a minute. You know what? You all stay here, I guess, since you're here anyway, and she kind of, like, walks over towards a long table and then, like, taps one of these maze boxes, and she's gone.
I want to lean in super hard to Kara and be like, so glad that you said that. You literally clarified all of my thoughts that were going like a beehive, an angry beehive. So yeah, I cannot agree with you more. Also, I'm pretty sure you just said what all of us maybe were thinking, but like at odds with, and you just brought it all together like some glue, and I really fucking hope that Munitios is going to visit some of her creations right now.
Yeah, Kara, you can see Kara's face is like, her cheeks have gotten just like bright red rosy apples, and she just takes her, like, her big hands, and she just runs them through her hair and just...
I want to pour you a drink!
She's like, I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. I appreciate. I haven't told you this in a minute, but I do love you a lot. For all the words that I know and the many billions of pages that I've read, you, my friend, have a way with words.
You're hot today, Kara.
Oh my god, and after she's got like purple ichor from the mimic caked on her, they all look like fucking shit.
Doesn't even matter.
And you're just sitting in this little studio shitty apartment, because Manitios just had to get out of there just for a second. And It's really quiet. There's no real sounds in here. You also notice there's no windows in this little pocket plane. So it's very quiet.
It's like a clock ticking loudly on a mantle.
Yeah.
Kara gets a snack. Some white cheddar cheese puffs.
Oh, nice.
Can I, like,
nice.
Very, very politely rifle through a few things? Just like, I mean, come on, we're in a Titan's den. Like, I want to see what books are around.
Girl, we nosy. Let's get in those medicine cabinets.
Super casually, so that at any moment, if she appears, it's not, like, offensive.
Yeah. I think you certainly can. You can take a look around at sort of the general clutter. And you assess very quickly that Minitios's space is all about organized chaos. So, like, there's this one long table that seemed to have all of her kind of art projects. There's another table that has, like, study materials and, like, reference books. You see that a lot of the books here aren't actually from anyone. They all seem to be written by Minitios, who has written many books in the time that she has.
Oh my god, get one of those.
We need to bring this back to Kratos.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to ask her permission, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Oh, I will. Like, whatever, her being a shit parent is one thing, but, like, you know, we're in her space, like, rules of etiquette. You know, I'm going to ask if she uses coasters and if she wants me to take my shoes off.
She does not seem to use coasters based on what
Oh my god. Oh,
so many space. Drink rings.
Oh no.
You don't see any food plates though, because she doesn't eat, but apparently she like enjoys the occasional beverage.
Can't blame her.
Yeah, Farrah is just like pretty focused on her hot Cheetos. And she is going to look up while everybody's going through or doing whatever they're doing and be like, Personally, everything else aside, and this might be selfish to be thinking about me for a second, but I need to find out before we leave here how I can be in control of my own magic. Because we're about to face something pretty fucking huge, and I need to never feel the way that I felt that day when I had nothing left inside of me. If we're going to be potentially choosing a different side than planned.
Saya will say, well, I don't really know if I could be of any help. Absolutely learn whatever you can from Minitios, but as someone who doesn't draw her power from gods, I do it from the energy of the world around me and within my own person. I mean, maybe some guided meditations together could help. I'd like to help you find your inner power and key.
Don't look at me, sister. I made a pact. I sold my soul. I literally cannot. I look at Sawyer and I'm like, I've read about what you're talking about and it never made sense to me. And I mean that in a imploring way. Like, it's fascinating. It's always eluded me. So I'm really stoked that you're offering to share that.
Yeah.
I don't honestly care how. I'm feeling a little cheated right now as a sorcerer that in that moment I had to feel like I relied on somebody for the first time in my life. Because that typically isn't our shtick. And however I need to go about in whatever little bit of time that we have, I, to be honest, from that moment have just not felt in control of anything at all, and I need that back in order to help you guys. I'll be honest, I trying to grin through this I would say torment inside of myself from that moment. And I'm not good at asking for help, but anything that you guys can help me with, I want it so that I can be helpful to you and not be some idiot fumbling with a dagger when we end up facing whatever we face. So, anything I'll take.
One, I'm going to just nip this in the bud. You're not an idiot with a dagger. Two, again, reflecting on the fact that I sold my soul, you know, for my magical abilities. What it did give me peace with was we're not in control of very much. Honestly, the only thing we're in control of is how we respond to the things that happen to us. And so far, you've done such an amazing job, be it just with a dinky dagger or your full magical abilities. You have come through for us. And we've done that for all of us, you know, for each other. And whether we have our abilities or not, you know. So really, it's not so much about how much we can control the magic or lack thereof. You know, it's what we can do for each other and work with what we got. That's something that we can all take pride in. And I look at everybody. We've all been at odds with ourselves or our surroundings. But what really got us through the situation was that ultimately we're here to help each other. And by the way, how much did it help ourselves when we were stuck in our own little holes that we've all been through? So, Farah, you're not in control of the things that happen to you, but you are in control of what you do with it.
Well, I just hope that if something does happen, that's true, because I don't know.
Well, you know what? You did the best thing. I know it's hard to ask for help, but you did. And you know what? We want to help. So, you've got it.
How many times have you helped us? My God, I'd be dead by now if it weren't for you. Couple times.
Like I said, I will try anything, even though I don't think I've sat still for 5 minutes in my life. I will try guided meditation. I will do whatever. But if I can get a head start on this here, if she can give me any information to jumpstart something within myself, which is what I feel as a sorcerer I should have anyway. And I just recently found out that maybe I don't because I fucked myself over because I believed too hard. That would be super.
Kara will take Farrah's hand and say, "We're gonna figure it out together. We're both connected to beings that aren't in our control, but we will figure it out, and we will manifest our own power. And while we are learning to do that, you know I will always protect you."
I think this moment, this really good moment, is interrupted by a that is coming from the table with the maze on it. Like this clinking on glass sound.
Nope. I'm going to pretend to ignore that fucking sound.
Kara laughs so hard. She is like rolling on the floor laughing.
It continues.
Mm-mm.
Yes, you can enter.
Mm-mm.
Hey, Kara, if you stick your face in like Manitios did and say boo, you'll scare the shit out of him.
Do not remove that shot glass, you guys. Do not.
Oh, we're not going to. We're just going to take a little check-in.
Oh, it's Chess? I thought it was Manitios trying to come back.
No, it's clearly Chess inside the little shot glass trying to get somebody to pay attention.
They're don't. Gonna brown their pants.
I'm going to busy
wanna,
myself.
Do you want to look in, Kara? On?
Oh, yeah. 100% will stick her big eyeball.
Yeah, as you do, and you see the tiny, like, 2-centimeter form of Chess, like, banging on the wall of the thing, like, with a sword, so it's making that ring, 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 ring sound. And you also see that Chess is waving, like, they've torn off a piece of clothing, so they're waving kind of a white flag above their head.
Very funny.
I hate
Oh, yeah, and Kara just shouts, "Boo!"
All right.
And then pulls
and they
back.
Remain there because they clearly do not have the strength to move this titanic shot glass that they have been.
How did they figure it out?
No, they seem to have some kind of awareness that somebody put this here.
Just tapping on the glass that's surrounding them. Who knows?
Hello? Yeah.
That makes Arnadel so suspicious. Super.
That they're tapping on the glass prison.
Yes.
How suspicious.
This is what Bartleby felt like, probably, when they were trapped in that jar.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I don't think anyone likes being trapped in a cage.
Well, no, that's not what I'm disagreeing about. Just the level of awareness that Chess has versus when we're just trying to get through the maze of her thing. He's just very, very aware of the scale of this that is uncomfortable to Arnadel.
If we look under the magnifying glass, have they, like, tried to send any messages, like, write anything out, or are they just, like, banging at us?
They're just banging at the thing, but, I mean, they've really only been there, I mean, your conversation was maybe 10, 15 minutes, so, you know, they haven't been trapped in there for too long. Who knows what they'll do next, though, but right now they've started banging.
They have air, right?
They should have enough air. They've been in there for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a whole ass room. Like,
I mean, the shot glass is very large in comparison to...
It's like a three-story building.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, in comparison to... But it is clearly there. So...
God, I'm gonna feel so fucking bad if they were just there doing bard shit and totally a fine person.
They're being straight up.
I don't know enough to feel safe, but also I'm gonna feel fucking terrible if they're just... some person trying to do their passion and their job.
What is just some person that's on such a similar quest to us? Come on now.
I mean, if I fucking heard about this story, like, there's a maze and there's a titan in it, I'd be like, shit.
The last living titan? But like, also, a bard would be all up in that shit.
The shit that Chess is the troop that Chess is affiliated with was also conveniently around whenever the avatar was taken. Well, not taken.
Mm-hmm. One day there's going to be
extracted.
A bard song about how we fucking locked this poor person up.
Yeah, whatever. We'll get a good story out of it one day.
Those evil venture maidens.
This glass prison. This crystal palace. And it was the shot
glass.
That's
how we'll know that Chess is friends of ours.
Our paranoia is completely valid, okay? We've been stalked by this psycho Rem and her imprisoned child. Whatever. So... We can trap one person under a shot glass for 10 minutes.
I'm still out in left field about Rem.
I don't know. I'm honestly wavering a little bit just because, like, I mean, who else has she killed?
Outside of talking Daddy with
two
Zira
people in your party.
Well, nobody.
But who's...
like, because she thinks that we can stop her.
Why?
I think still some key information missing about who ripped Saya apart. And we just know that there were two people present and involved. But we don't know who did it. It's left to heavy assumptions. Nobody witnessed this. And obviously Arnadel's not saying this to Saya, because how the fuck are you going to say that to somebody who was literally ripped to shreds?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just sharing my... I would never. There's no good place to ever have that conversation,
like,
diplomatically.
Bitch, she threatened my life to my face, and then I woke up in pieces. So, not much to question there.
With your knife cut by
Aaron's
a child.
Aaron's sister said that to you. And Aaron's sister's a little fucking crazy, if I remember.
Don't talk about your future family like that.
I mean, I've been at odds with Mila since we first met. Arnadel's just, it's not an emotional, this is her logical thought process, is that
sure
it's
it
just
is.
Black and white. There's
sure it is.
No, I'm, no,
sure.
Straight up, like,
mm-hmm.
Black and white, there's, I have way deeper feelings towards Saya than Aaron. I'm saying that considering like the emotional things that are at stake, what she relies on is cutting the emotion and thinking about things just black and white logically. And right now, logically, from what we've witnessed versus what we've heard versus secondhand accounts or whatever, there is not a lot of strong evidence that she's actually, that Rem is actually killed. Like, we know Nerul, do we? We just felt it, right? Like,
also, the thing is, too, is we have been literally on a different plane of existence that is unable to be found by the gods, so we don't know if there haven't been, if there have been more than maybe been killed, but because we've been removed from the rest of the universe, that we might not have been felt, we might not have felt it.
If anything's happened in the meantime.
We don't know if time is moving at the same amount of time either.
Sage is right.
We don't know about time, is what we heard last from you.
We don't know if time is moving at the same rate as it does in the material plane. So maybe it's been 5,000 years since we went through this fucking gate. Who knows?
Oh shit, that would suck. We won't know
till we get back.
I think what I'm trying to address is Arnadel might not be on the same page with you guys about a lot of stuff. And right now she's questioning, well, am I here for the Venture Maidens or am I here for the fucking people that I've been fighting alongside? Because right now she doesn't necessarily agree with the reason that we're trying. Like, she doesn't even know. What is it that we're even trying to do? None of us can really agree. We're just really trying to fill in the blanks. We still don't have a fucking objective. We're just talking with Minitios to determine what we're supposed to do with this avatar, with Rem, with anything. And so what I'm trying to clarify is Arnadel is equally confused and trying to decide, like, are my loyalties with finishing this mission or with the fucking maidens that I've, like, I would like, I think... that's where she's kind of like going with this thought process is like,
either way, we've got to guarantee the survival of people kind in order to keep loving each other. So,
yeah, I mean, I think what Kara asked before Minitios walked out, I mean, that's our objective right now. We're trying to learn as much as we can. What we do with that information afterwards is the next step. But,
true.
Yeah. I very easily see this information, however, tearing us apart because Saya's pretty becoming more and more steadfast in her position.
Which is
I'm stopping Rem no matter what.
I feel less confident about specifically Rem. I feel less confident about Rem. And what I'm leaning on is my connection with the maidens to give me guidance and what to do.
I just fucking wish Rem would goddamn speak to us.
Exactly.
Because how, if her whole thing is like, my dad was a really, really bad person.
Yeah.
And that's who I'm killing. And then I'm moving the fuck on and just making sure if any of these gods end up becoming out of control and super fucking shitty, that there's somebody to keep them in check. Like, I'm down with that, to be honest with you, even though, like, whatever. Like, there has to be checks and balances everywhere, you know? Nobody can just have free reign of anything. So, I don't know.
Who would keep Rem in check?
That's the thing. If we have the means, the knowledge to be able to destroy the avatar, then we have a checked on Dr. Manhattan. Otherwise, we're just fucking, like, people throwing squids.
I'm not trying to murder Rem. I'm trying to separate Rem from the avatar. That's exactly the biggest thing that we need to do. Rem can be held accountable afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
And that, to me, is stopping Rem. Yes. Rem needs to be separated.
Nobody's on the vendetta to kill anybody.
Less to do with Rem and more to do with just taking the avatar away from Rem.
Yeah, but that has to do with Rem.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, we don't have to focus on Rem's motives. Literally, all we need to do is take the avatar away from Rem, and then we can ask Rem about what the fuck was going on with all that mess. But, like, the...
We should ask, by the way, while we're here, if the avatar affects psychological states at all.
She'd be a little cray.
Yeah. Ooh.
Am I I think while you all are having this bandied about discussion, there's kind of like a popping sound, and back towards one of these little puzzle boxes, all of a sudden, Manetius appears once again in the space. And she looks ashamed, I think would be probably the best expression. This titan who created the world seems to have literally no poker face of any kind. You're not sure if she's deceiving you or she's completely guileless, but she is standing there feeling literally the weight of all of your worlds on her shoulders as she kind of looks down at this maze and then looks back up at all of you. If you feel that destroying the Avatar is what you need to preserve your world or whatever it is, I suppose the time of the Titans is done. And fighting it got me sealed in here. So maybe it's just time I give it up. And I let your world belong to gods and let your world belong to humanoids. I'll forge you a weapon that can destroy the Avatar, if that is what you wish to do.
Yes.
Thank you.
We don't want gods to be fully in control of this either. We just want balance. Right?
I mean, now that we know more of what we are capable of, as Farrah here is learning which both her and my powers are connected to these deities who we get our power through our devotion to them. If we can learn to circumvent that, if you can teach us any amount of that, it will help us keep these deities in check, and we will bring this like fire to the mortal plane and set the world ablaze.
I can't pretend that I know how you all can access your magic. I can only give you, honestly, platitudes. I don't understand what it is to be mortal and to connect to your power. All I know is that we built you so that you could. So maybe I won't be the best of help. But at the end of the day, you were right, Kara, when you said that you are my children. If you demand the tools to reshape your world, well, I brought you into it. So I have to give you those tools. It's the right thing to do. Our time is done. And I guess for the first time I'm realizing that, truly. It's going to take me a couple of days to make a weapon, I suppose, that will hurt it, but I will forge the materials I use to build the Avatar into a weapon. I have enough for one, if you would like to tell me the shape or whatever you would like to wield.
Can I do an insight check?
Go ahead and roll it.
I want to know if destroying this Avatar is going to destroy Munitius.
I don't think an insight check will tell you that. I think, though, you could ask her. I think she would very honestly tell you no, but she is already pretty destroyed. What she is and where she is and what has happened. She seems to realize that she's done.
Having that thing out in the world amongst mortals was your only hope of changing your situation?
Unless I were to wake up one day and all the gods were gone. I don't even think the Avatar, I don't even think one person wielding the Avatar. There's just one Avatar. There are hundreds of gods. And the lie of gods and humanoids is so persistent
Well, I mean, like, I'm one of, like, six kids, and we certainly all don't have the same feelings about our parents. We all have very unique experiences. Like, really? You think all of them?
It's not our world anymore. It never really was. When you're a creator, you make, and things happen, and your creations grow, and want, and desire, and fight, and feud, and there's honestly very little you can do about it, but persist for as long as you can. But that's the nature of things, right? They have to go so things can grow.
Well, I hope that we can give you company in this time that you're helping us forge this. And I hope that I would really like to get out of this with an ability for you to be out in the world again.
I appreciate that, Farrah, but I don't really think that's on the table, so I'd rather not talk about things that are impossible, if you don't mind. Sorry.
Well, then I'll hope for you.
Alright, so real talk, though, who's gonna wield this weapon?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think it's like, pretty obvious.
Should we put it up to a vote? I've got a Pinterest board going.
Should we put it up to a vote?
So it can be any weapon, which means that it could be a staff that does magical power. It could be a sword. It could be a staff, like a monk weapon. Like, it could be literally fucking anything. So, but it is going to be one weapon, and this is going to be literally the only weapon in all of existence that can harm it. No spells, no anything else is going to be able to harm this avatar.
So I think that I definitely think Kara, because she can do the most damage in one hit, but also I feel like range is a factor. If they're over there flying all over the place too, I don't fucking want it because I gotta heal y'all.
Like, I don't think that that's my range turn. Has anything to, I don't think Kara is detrimentally affected by range. Kara is literally, Kara has found a way. We've been flying, we've been falling and floating and not breathing, and Kara has still found a fucking way to smack something.
I will also remind you that Kara is under a very specific curse about weapons.
Oh, so. Yeah, you can only use the specific one.
The champion, oh.
Well, maybe then Saye, because you can get the most hits in one turn.
Mm-hmm. I have zero qualms with losing my magical abilities, by the way.
We just need someone to cast Greater Restoration on me. Remove Curse. Remove Curse is a spell.
Do I even I don't have that. I could get that eventually, but I don't have that.
I could probably do it on myself. Shit.
Oh, sorry, Nassim, are you back in? We're deciding what the weapon is going to be. Who's going to wield it? Because you can only make one weapon. Manitios is going to make you one. She's going to forge it out of, like, literally the hammers and materials and anvil she made to use the avatar, which is going to create one weapon. This could be a staff for magical power. This could be a monk weapon. This could be a ranged weapon. It could be a melee weapon, whatever, but only one.
Ooh. I actually have Remove Curse prepared. I would like to cast it on myself.
Okay.
I would like to see if it works while we're having this conversation.
Okay, I think you can cast it and it will break attunement to the sword. But I will say, as soon as you start to cast it, Manitios goes, no, sorry, no, you can't. I'm sorry, you can't do that here. That you said you cast from a god, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
I'm sorry, that's the fastest way to get me killed. Please.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. I'll wait till we get out. Thank you.
Again.
So, my two votes would be either Kara or Saye. Kara, because damn that hit. that is a nasty damage hit. But also, I do want to know If the magical effects of, like, spells that she uses on the weapon, like, if she's using spells to increase damage, does that still, like, add to the weapon damage to the armor?
Yeah, so, right. So, essentially, what she's doing is going to be basically forging you, like, a legendary weapon. So the weapon is going to have its own properties. One of those properties is specifically, like, if you were to look at the Avatar's monster stat block, it's, like, immune to all damage except damage from this thing, this type of material. So it'll work with all kinds of other spells and...
You want to know my idea?
Yeah.
If it's possible?
That's your idea. This seems... Hit me.
I want some fucking iron knuckles. I think that'd be dope.
You can do that.
Because I can do so many hits, so many attempts to hit. And they'd never leave my hand. My weapons are magic, or my fists are magic. Even though if it's the only kind of damage she could take either way, but.
What about a good old fashioned vote?
Yeah.
Well, what is everyone's idea? I haven't heard everyone's idea.
I think if we all just write down who our character votes for, and then we all show it, and then whoever has the most votes gets the weapon. And then that person like gets that. To name what kind of weapon they want.
Do we want to take a survivor vote right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'll mouth things to the camera as I show my vote.
Okay.
All right, let me get some paper.
As we all stare at what each other votes write it for. Down.
We're writing it down. This is a podcast.
Well, we're going to split say it.
Brittany wants to write it down.
Writing it down.
Well, I know who I'm voting for, so I'll just say it.
From Theater of the Mind.
All right.
Oh, man.
Figure.
Well, God, we only have four people, so Lord, if it's a tie.
Yeah, I mean.
If it's a tie, I'll pick. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Well, okay, Katie.
Okay, well, Katie. Okay, Katie's vote. All right, Brittany, hold up your vote. I'm going to see everybody hold up their fucking votes. Okay.
I didn't write it down.
I didn't either. My vote is Sawyer.
My vote is me, too.
Shit!
Okay.
So it's a tie.
It's a tie. Cool. So as Manetios, I guess, looks between the two of you who are, like, sort of the choice to wield this weapon, Manetios sort of looks down at her feet and then looks back up and says, it would make me a little more comfortable, I suppose, if this was going to be wielded by somebody not under the influence of any god. So, Saye, if you would be the one to wield it, I am putting a great deal of trust in you. I just ask, please, that if you are going to destroy the Avatar, you know it's for a really good reason, and understand that without it, humanoids are going to need a lot of help if they're ever going to get out from under what the gods have done. So, it's a choice. It's not my choice to make, but I hope it's a choice you respect.
I do, and I don't take it lightly. I know what it is that you're doing for us and what it's going to take from you. And my goal isn't to destroy, to stop any chance of people getting their autonomy back, or even you. My goal is to stop more death. That's all. And we've learned so much just from this brief moment we've had with you. And I know we all intend to share what we can with everyone else. I value the fact that I draw my power from myself, and I think other people would be amazed to learn that they can do the same.
I think so too. Well, I suppose with that, okay. It'll take me a couple days, but I will forge you whatever weapon would be best suited. And this weapon will be able to affect the Avatar, damage it in a way nothing else could. So, you can stay here, and she looks around the small room, or she's like, or I have many better places you could go, and kind of points at the boxes. It all leads back to here, I guess. It's not real anyway.
Well, I'd say it's up to you. We've impeded in your space, and if you don't mind us staying, if you enjoy the company, I think we'd be happy to stay.
Sure. I can get some, make some, the cots, or something. I'll get to doing that if you just want to make yourselves comfortable. I'll get started. And she kind of looks again at the board and is like, it's weird feeling the beginning of the end, you know?
It's not an easy thing to face. But you have, well, at least for the time being, company to face it. And we greatly appreciate you doing this for us, and to be able to meet someone of your nature to learn just the tiniest sliver of what was before. If we could... If there is anything that you would like for us to take back...
It's okay. It's okay.
What was that old story that we all read about in school when we were all youngins? You know, where there was a box that this old deity broad, like, opened up and it released all this chaos and made things go crazy. And when she looked back in the box, the last thing that was in there was, what was it, you guys? Hope?
Manitius is like, I... don't know that story. I'm not.
Oh, I read it.
I must have been one you all made.
Well, I hope it's applicable. Anyway,
make yourselves comfortable, and I'll be back in a bit.
Kyle's gonna take out a deck of playing cards.
And with that, we're gonna end the episode in that moment. Oh my god, here we are, everybody. Episode 95. Thank you all so much for hanging out. Wow, that was an episode, y'all.
I am.
How are y'all feeling?
A lot. Yeah. Just a lot is what I'm.
I would like to argue that convincing an elder being to craft us a weapon would fit one of my noble deeds for my sword.
Yes, but also now, yeah.
Did your sword hear you try to uncursify yourself?
I'm trying to uncurse it. I think maybe the sword understands and is relieved that you didn't uncurse yourself. So I would say that fulfills a noble deed. Convincing the last of their kind to help all of humanoid kind, I think is a pretty big ask. So yeah. For sure.
How much does it recharge? Sure. Like, I feel like that thing's like vibrating and glowing all at the same time.
drop the die is saying, let's make an artifact, Celeste. Hell yeah, let's do it. We're going to make an artifact that you are going to be wielding, because Manitios is forging you the only thing in the world that can destroy the
fucking
Avatar.
Hardest decision to figure
pretty
out.
Pretty legendary fucking
Nassim,
item.
What is the artifact? Did you say?
The knuckle dusters.
Knuckle dusters? Yeah. Dude.
Oh,
dude. Cool as shit.
I hope they're so sparkly. They like probably blitzed. Won't be, because that doesn't seem Manitio's vibe. It's more like practical, utilitarian, but in my heart, I want them to be sparkly.
Like mosaic disco ball bling?
She can make anything if you want them to be sparkly. You know, it's her last hurrah.
I want, whatever she wants to do, get her creative energy out. She can do it.
Anyway, thank you all so much for being here for this episode. Woo! So that's it. That's the business. Please make sure to follow us on social media at Venture Maidens everywhere. Please follow, like, subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. And that's it. Did I do our outros yet?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Outro time. Hey, everybody. I've been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
I've been your Moon Elf Warlock, Arnadel Thill, by Brittany Quintero.
Hi, I'm Pure Feelings, playing Fair Valen, Tiefling Sorceress.
And I'm Nassim. I have been your very driven monk, human monk, Cyanor.
And I'm Sage, and I play Kara, your cleric who is full of consternation, barbarian.
Oh, that's a word! Thank you all for joining us for this wild ride of an episode, and until next time...
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody.
Ooh, that was an emotional roller coaster. I think everyone here can relate to Minitios and our quarantine times. Thank you all for tuning in to episode 95, and of course another big thank you to our patrons. If you haven't done so already, I highly suggest you head over to patreon.com/venturemaidens to check out all of the tiers and super cool perks that you gain access to when you become a patron. And of course, thank you to our final sponsor for this episode, Elderwood Academy. Do you have a special set of dice that you guard with draconic intent? Then you should consider guarding them in a hex chest by Elderwood Academy. It is a really neat six-sided box that has a nice microfoam insert to keep your dice nice and quiet and comfy, or you can take it out to have the bottom serve as a micro rolling tray. Two strong magnets ensure that your dice stay safely nestled and enclosed within this hex chest. And you can personalize your hex chest by choosing side and top engravings as well as the color of the foam inserts. You can find the hex chest and the mini hex chest and so much more at elderwoodacademy.com/don't-split. All right, venturers, that's all we have for this episode. We'll catch you next time.